What is God up to? That is humanity's question in every age. Here we are, another week reading in the lectionary of the continuing saga from Genesis. And it's not the glorious stuff of the Spirit hovering over the waters and let there be light. Oh no, that was 29 long chapters ago. We're following the story of Abraham and his son Isaac, and now Abraham's grandson Jacob with Leah and Rachel. Have any of their stories been satisfying on the bald-faced narrative level? Abraham asked to and ready to sacrifice his son Isaac. Isaac and Rebekah, terrible parents, actually playing opposite favorites with their twin boys Esau and Jacob. Then Jacob, stealing firstborn brother Esau's inheritance, birthright, by subterfuge. Oy. But this is the Bible, our holy book. It's sacred reading. So then, why are these folks our folks? What is God up to? Well, are there any stories of not-so-greatness in your personal family line? Or let me put it a different way. Are there beloved, even spectacular people in your family line about whom there might be a sketchy story or two? My son Patrick, who's been gone over a decade, was bigger than life in every way. A big 6'1" boy with big, stinky, size 13.5 feet, a big, loud voice, a big, boisterous personality, a big, colorful mohawk and tattoos, a big, tender heart that loved extravagantly. He did some wonders in his brief 22 years. He brought homeless friends home to sleep on our couch. He saved a younger, drunk buddy from getting beat up in a mosh pit at a punk concert in San Francisco. He chronicled our family's foibles in devastating cartoons. And he drew cartoons for kids at the hospital to color. He made us laugh through our tears time and again. I learned so much from my boy's voracious life and his wide embrace. And this boy shoplifted a chainsaw from Home Depot. A chainsaw of all things, people. The fact that it was for the zombie apocalypse, which is kind of cute, does not diminish that that's not a thing that makes a mama proud. I didn't know at the time. He kept it at a friend's house for like 2 years. But I can tell you this. The chainsaw thing, it's not the only sketchy story from Patrick's life. But I'm telling you, all of Patrick's story is full of grace. And we still tell his story, including the sketchy parts, and experience grace. Now, isn't that what the Bible does? Pondering today's reading from the Hebrew scripture about Jacob getting the switcheroo of the not chosen Leah instead of the glorious Rachel. I could start by feeling bad for Jacob, who is deceived, and he has to work another 7 years. That's not right. Where's the grace? But then again, that's what Jacob did to Isaac, his dad, a clandestine switch in the dark to get the birthright that Isaac thought he was giving to Esau. Story after story of not-so-greatness. Yet, if you believe that there is revelation for us in Scripture, then God gives us these people, these situations, as our progenitors and our metaphors and our morality tales. Maybe it's not in spite of their not being perfect. Maybe it's because they're not perfect. Because we're not perfect either. And Lord knows our nation and our city are not. But our forebears show us how grace is everywhere. Imperfection does not prevent God's grace, does not prevent the movement of the Spirit in the world and in our lives. Because this is life. These stories in Genesis, they're messy. The patriarchal culture of inheritance and chattel women and slavery is ugly to us. We look at them with a jaundiced eye. But how are our eyes looking at our own culture today, built on slavery and racism and an idol of consumerism? It turns us into an us versus them society. It's still messy. It's still far from right. And life doesn't give us what we're expecting most of the time, does it? And it doesn't give us what we think we want or deserve. People talk about waking up with Leah. We think the story is going to be about Jacob working hard and getting his reward, an obvious moral to a story. And whoops, surprise, the sun comes up and the bride is Rachel, is not Rachel. The bride is Leah. But what about waking up with Jacob? We could talk all day about Leah's story too, because for Leah's plight in this, she wakes up with a husband who doesn't ever love her. In the Bible, what is God up to? Well, Jacob is going to physically wrestle with God as this story progresses, demanding God's blessing, the blessing that God is there to give him. Leah, the unloved wife, is going to be blessed with the first son, and then five more sons and a daughter. And she names the first three boys, beseeching her husband's love, but finally names the fourth Judah, praise, leaning into the blessing. It took some time for both, but the blessing overcame them, both. I think that's what God is up to in today's reading. Of course, there are more layers and layers of meaning here that we can uncover and chew on. That's what God is up to, too. But I'm feeling on this day how flawed people experience grace when they recognize the grace that is already there. Flawed people are part of the history of God's action among us. Flawed people are Jesus' ancestors. Flawed people in messed up situations are Jesus' hands and feet in the world today. And that is good news, because no one among us is unflawed, not in our family tree, not in our own lives. So what is God up to? God is up to loving us anyway and working with us and through us anyway. So we have work to do. Now, just how great a figure do you have to be to shine God's light in the world? In some of our prayers, we name the patriarchs and the matriarchs. Well, that's sketchy Jacob. That's Leah and Rachel. And who is living out God's story in the world today? You are, and I am, and the people we disagree with are. This is not a new message, but I think we really need to feel it in our hearts today, in this season, during the peaceful protests and violent rioting going on in our city. So much feels wrong and frightening and necessary and fraught. And it has exacerbated the sense of division among us. But God is still here, and we've got God's work to do. And God's work is about change. In today's gospel, Jesus talks in parables about how tiny things become verdant, life-giving branches, become enough bread for a throng of people. How finding the one thing of greatest value is what matters. All of that is about the inbreaking kingdom, Jesus' kingdom, where the oppressed are lifted up. And all of that is about our own faith journey, too. and our actions in a world in need of change, we as Jesus' followers. Do you have to be glorious to be caught up in God's grace? Not if you read the stories in Genesis. Yet you are glorious because you are already caught up in God's grace. Just recognize it and live into it and hold on to it with your mustard seed of faith. Our ancient and ongoing history and our own personal story is the story of how a flawed people discover and experience and grow into their relationship with the divine who is already loving them. What's your story of relationship with the divine? And how will you live it out in these difficult times when change is birthing? My son Patrick wrote a poem in his journal that says, "I don't need my life to be an Easter Island, no Aurora Borealis, no Everest Peak, no Stonehenge. I just want my existence to brighten as many other people's journeys as I can, as large as being a sun, and as small as a doodle a nurse delivered from a stranger down the hall, that one can smile from surprise and tape it on her wall for a week-long visit in a children's hospital when you were 6 years old." I think that's glorious. I think it changes the world. We are surrounded by grace. We are sharers of that ancient and ever-present blessing, even if on a bad day we once lifted a chainsaw. Flawed as we may be at this time, in this place with these problems, we are the agents of change and we are beloved. We are living into our own call and relationship with the divine. That is what God is up to with you.